You are tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Sponsored in part by Replays, Gameware, Movies, and More, and IDE Computers. Now your hosts, Sam Dunham, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, and Josh Harrison.
Welcome back to Nerd Overload, the show where we discuss everything in pop and geek culture from April O'Neil to Zero Suit Samus. I'm Sam Dunham.
I'm Josh Harrison.
I'm Samantha Cross.
And I'm Cody Pinnick.
We have a great show for you guys today. Thank you again for tuning in. Before we get into the news, we're going to go into what we've been checking out this week.
This week I've been playing a lot of phone games, apparently.
Oh, cool.
That mobile iOS games. Firstly, I was checking out Final Fantasy Record Keeper, which is like, it's a Final Fantasy game with just the battles.
Okay, all right.
And you play through all the different Final Fantasy games that have been made. So, you know, 1 through 10. Well, not 10. Like 13, I guess, probably is about as far as it goes. But it has like, the 16-bit sprites for every character. And it's a great time killer because you just play some Final Fantasy battles.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. I think they could have come up with a better name, like Final Fantasy Record Keeper. It just sounds like someone sitting in, like, their cubicle, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's... You live in this universe where you're the keeper of all these Final Fantasy stories.
Oh, okay.
It still doesn't sound very exciting, though,
no,
right?
No, it doesn't, but...
Final Fantasy Fight Club.
But hey, boss battles, you know, that's fun.
It's a lot like... well, it's not like... They did a game that had a similar concept before called Final Fantasy All the Bravest, but it was, like, super microtransactioned and, like, didn't... And the gameplay was, like, boiled down to just tapping your screen and watching something happen. So it was really terrible. And then, like, this game kind of cashes in on the promises that the other one made and failed at.
Okay. All right. Well, that sounds interesting. Does it cost?
It's free to play, but there's a premium currency type thing. But...
Of course there is. Yeah.
But it's not too intrusive. And there's a lot of, like, equipment management and stat management. Like, if you take a character from Final Fantasy VII and take him into a Final Fantasy VII level, he'll get a boost. Or if you have equipment from that game and go into that game, you get a boost.
Okay.
Like, a lot of cool stuff like that.
It wants you to, like, synergy.
Yeah. Yeah, you're synergizing your entire team. But it's a good time killer. And then the other one, the Steven Universe Attack the Light game came out today, and I played that for a little bit. It's basically Steven Universe, Paper Mario, designed for a phone.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, I was playing it before we all got together. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's good. And it's really well optimized for swipe controls and tapping controls to where you're still, you know, exploring a dungeon like you would in an RPG game, but you're just swiping through it. It's pretty good. I would recommend it. It's worth the
$3.
Yeah.
Oh, very cool. Okay.
I bit the bullet, and I started watching the Inspector Gadget new series on Netflix.
After all you railed about it last week.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah. Okay, so how is it?
I don't like it.
Why are you watching it?
Because I have to. I don't know. I mean, sometimes I wonder if I'm being a little overly critical of it. I mean, there are a lot of themes from classic Inspector Gadget in there, like... Gadget is completely clueless, and Penny saving the day, and Gadget chasing Brain around thinking he's a disguised mad agent.
Okay.
Dr. Claw has a nephew named Talon. He's basically evil Penny. And Penny and him like each other.
Of course.
Because raging hormones and all that stuff.
They're star-crossed lovers.
Yeah, pretty much. And Penny, she's not so much a little kid anymore, but more of a teen. It seems more built off the classic series than the other series that came out after. Like, they don't have the talking car, thank goodness.
Oh, that's good. Oh, man.
You do see the classic Gadget.
D.L. Hughley as the car.
But they do... Oh, God, they did
it. It was D.L. Hughley. Yeah, that's right. Mind like a steel trap, buddy.
Oh, man. They show the classic Gadgetmobile, and he's like, "To the Gadgetmobile!" And he grabs the door. It's all, like, all rusted and crappy. Look, because Gadget was retired.
Okay.
And then Dr. Claw came back and brought him back out of retirement. And he grabs the door handle, and the whole car just turns to dust.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, I don't know. Talon second guesses Dr. Claw's lame plans, like he's Seth Green from the Austin Powers movies.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I always liked that character in Austin Powers. It was a good idea to have a...
Until the third one.
Yeah, and then things get weird in the third one.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I don't know. I don't like the animation style. I'm all okay with it, you know, updating characters and everything, but it's just, I don't know. Like I said, it probably wasn't made for me. So
yeah.
Sometimes I wonder, I just got to be a little...
A lot of the Netflix kids shows don't seem like they have very wide appeal. Like, they're not trying real hard to...
Which is weird, because the other stuff they do is great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't get that.
Yeah, their kid stuff is not on the level of their other originals, which are...
It's no Kimmy Schmidt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But other than that, and Steven Universe on the phone, that's pretty much all I've done.
I've been watching a little bit of TV, too. It's mostly all I've been doing. I guess we'll start off with Fresh Off the Boat. It's the new... What's the name of that comedian? It's based off his book.
I think. I don't know. We're going to look it up real quick.
Yeah, I'll look it up real
quick.
Sorry. But it's about... Because he wrote a book. It was based on the book of his experience of moving from, was it Washington, D.C. to Florida. I mean, it's really good.
And being Asian.
Well, yeah. Not sticking in this, like, white suburban area.
It's the Life of Chef and Food Personality Eddie Huang.
Eddie Huang. I was way off. Yeah. That's their last name on the show is Khan, I think.
Oh.
Okay. And it stars a guy named Randall Park, Constance Yu, or Wu, and a bunch of other people.
Yeah, but it's very interesting. You don't see very many shows about, you know, Chinese people's experiences.
No, you really don't.
No.
I haven't actually watched it, but from, like, the trailers and stuff, it kind of reminded me of, like, a...
I think it's better than what the trailer show.
Yeah, but it kind of reminded me of, like, Goldberg's a little bit.
I haven't seen that.
Goldberg's was, like, it's, like, this family in the 80s.
80s,
yeah.
It's all based off this kid's home movies.
Mm-hmm. I actually like the Goldbergs.
It's kind of funny.
Yeah. It has its moments.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What else can I say about that?
It's set in the 90s. It's set in, 1995.
So there's all these really funny references. Like, the one episode, they really wanted the Shaq Fu game because they're all really excited about it.
Oh, game perfect. Was great.
Perfect.
Like, obsessed about it. And, like, it sucks, man. After they actually played it.
Or, like, when he first goes to school and sees all the kids eating Lunchables. And it's, like, all the retro Lunchables packaging from when we were kids.
Nice.
I forgot about that.
I feel like I would identify with this show a lot more because I grew up more in the 90s than I did the 80s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, seriously, that's another reason to watch it, just because all the weird 90s stuff that you, like, kind of forgot about. They made an Ecto Cooler reference.
Oh, my God. Ecto Cooler.
Perfect.
It's written pretty well. It's funny.
The mom is hilarious.
Is it basically kind of like a comedic look at, like, stereotypes and stuff?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah. It gets into that, but there's a lot more going on than that.
It's not the most important thing going on.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's good.
What was that? What did his mom say that was so funny?
Oh, she's talking about Caddyshack. I love that movie. Everyone is yelling. It's fantastic.
What was the other thing I watched? Oh, Danger 5. Was it? Actually, we didn't know what to watch, so we used Max on Netflix, thinking we usually just do it just out of curiosity of what stupid crap
it's
going to...
on PlayStation.
What is that?
On PlayStation consoles, there's this utility called Max. That it's this very you don't know Jack esque voice that runs you through a game or a rating thing to help you pick what you want to watch on Netflix based on
what you watched and what you liked, and helps you pick something that you might not have known about.
Okay,
it's weird.
It's like a game show host that helps you pick what to watch on Netflix.
Oh, what a world we live in!
So funny one time. It's like, okay, I think I know you pretty well. I'm just going to pick one and we're going to watch it. And it's freaking Tommy Boy.
Yeah, I just started playing Tommy Boy.
I'm just like, nope.
Oh, that's a great movie.
Wait a minute. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, we weren't in the mood for
it. For Tommy Boy, yeah.
Richard, what'd you do?
But anyway, it ended up introducing us to a show that for some reason we haven't heard about. called Danger 5. It is ridiculous, guys. It's set in the 60s?
Yeah, but they're also fighting Nazis in the 60s.
Think about that one.
Yeah.
Doesn't quite make sense. But, like, their boss is a guy with a big mascot eagle head that has a flapping mouth. And there's these, Hitler's dog. It's a big puppet.
Dog puppet.
You just have to see it, because it's hard to describe.
It's very off the wall, like, this is like jokey action show.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know if it's ever
like,
seen.
Like Magruder?
I don't know what that is.
It was a SNL skit that
MacGruber.
Yeah. MacGruber. There it is, MacGruber.
But no, I love Danger 5. They were the same guys that did Italian Spider-Man, the YouTube series, which is pretty great. And there are a couple of Australian guys. I was on their version of ABC, I think, or something like that. But no, great show. I think I've seen the first season. I think there's a second season out now or something like that. But yeah, I love it.
Yeah, the second season I heard takes it to the 80s instead of the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
I love how they're not afraid to put the weird animal heads on people's bodies. It just kills me for some reason.
Is it kind of like the horse head thing a little bit?
Yeah.
I think it's part of why it kills me, but like the mouths move.
It's very like soul of the moment.
Yeah, or like Darth Merengue's. You know, dark place,
yeah.
Okay.
It's like, yeah.
Something that would be right at home out on Adult Swim.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very Thunderbirds.
Yeah.
Too.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love Thunderbirds You Go.
But it's supposed to be funny.
Okay.
Well, this week I have only had time for one thing, but man, it was a good one. I watched the newest episode of The Flash this week.
Yay, someone other than me.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And the whole reason I watched it was because this episode introduced the villain, the Trickster, with Mark Hamill. As, like, there's, like, two generations of this villain. The whole deal, the whole thing, reason why this is so cool, there was a Flash show from the 90s.
I remember watching it.
Starring John Wesley Shipp.
Barry Allen's dad.
Yeah, Barry Allen's dad in this show. And on that show, he never really fought supervillains for most of the series. By the time they decided, we need to bring in, like, Captain Cold and people like that in. The show was pretty much canceled, but they had enough time to bring in a couple big names in, and one of them was Mark Hamill as the Trickster. You know, this crazy guy, James Jesse. He was, you know, did all these pranks and stuff, kind of the Joker. That's actually where the voice for the Joker from Batman the Animated Series came from. And they decided for this series, The Flash, to do kind of like a Silence of the Lambs style thing with a new Trickster running around setting off bombs and stuff, and they have to go to the old Trickster from 20 years ago that's been incarcerated, like, talk to him through a cell to try to get ideas and stuff. All very Silence of the Lambsy. And it's Mark Hamill, and it's freaking awesome.
At this point, I think we should probably say spoiler warnings.
We should probably say spoiler warnings, yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, there's really not a whole lot to spoil. There's
some stuff in the episode.
Well, pertaining to the Trickster stuff. Yeah. Eventually, it turns out both Tricksters were working with each other.
The greatest trick.
Yes. And they put in a bunch of Star Wars references, and they put in, like, all this other stuff. It's pretty great.
That Star Wars reference was great.
Yeah, they did a I'm Your Father thing, and yeah.
Yes, yep. It turns out the kid that he's been corresponding with for the past 10 years is actually his son. Yeah. But the kid didn't know it.
Yeah. But anyways, really good. They had a scene, a lot of the, like, the courtroom footage of, like, the Trickster's when he was incarcerated was taken from the original Flash series. So you see young Mark Hamill in the Trickster costume and everything.
This is this ridiculous spandex outfit.
Yeah, it looks like it did in the Justice League Unlimited cartoon with the patches all over the place and everything.
Yeah, it's pretty kind of like Harley Quinn-y clown kind of style.
Yeah, really good episode. It actually also ties in a little bit to the overarching story with the Reverse Flash and everything.
Yeah, we actually see like who he is and where he came from.
Yep, and why when they tested the blood, like, samples from
why it
doesn't match Harrison Wells, because it's not really Harrison Wells. He uses a super fancy
future device,
future science, you know, Deus Ex Machina machine that overwrites his own Reverse Flash's DNA with Harrison Wells, essentially taking his face
and his entire DNA.
Yeah. And it's a big cop-out is what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. But really good episode. There's one thing that's been bothering me about it, and it's been bothering me more and more with this series. Barry Allen keeps telling people who he is. This last episode, he told Joe's partner.
Eddie.
Eddie.
Who's also Iris's boyfriend.
Right, right. Meaning 99% of the principal cast knows that Barry Allen's the Flash, which, you know, fine, whatever.
At least his dad figured it out on his own.
Yeah, right. But the thing that I have a problem with is, at this point, why do they keep it from Iris West, the one character that they keep? They all decide, yeah. Oh, we have to keep this secret from her, so, you know, not to put her in danger. Well, she's going to be put in danger one way or the other. At least she should know why, yeah. You know?
I'll say, she was already a target in a previous episode because she wrote the Flash blog.
Yeah, and, you know, they keep diminishing her role on the show. Like, at the beginning of the series, she was a strong female character, you know? And by the end of this one, do you know what her two big lines were? She walks up to Barry and says, something must be really bothering you. You seem like you have a heavy heart. Dinner's almost ready.
Oh, God.
That was it.
Oh.
That was pretty much it. And
literally.
I guess she was at the Trickster's big hoopla thing.
Yeah, she was there too.
But she was just there as a means for the Flash to get there. The Flash was going to get there to stop the villain anyway. She doesn't do anything on the show, and I don't know why they keep dumbing down the character. Dumbing down might be the wrong term. Diminishing.
Yes.
Diminishing the character.
She's turning less and less an independent character and more and more a plot.
They're taking away her agency in the story.
Yeah, she's becoming a plot device.
Yeah, that's bothering me. That's bothering me a little bit. But other than that that quibble, the episode was really good, and I keep on wanting to watch more.
Yeah.
So.
Here's one thing. That makes me wonder about the episode. Twice now, the Reverse Flash has made comments about how such and such character has been dead for centuries. So, if he is so far ahead in the future, how does he fight Barry Allen? I mean, the Speed Force doesn't make him, like, eternally young, does it?
Yeah, a little bit.
Does it?
In the comics, yeah.
Oh, so he does, like, so he could live for centuries?
Yeah.
And still be the same person?
He could, but he's from the 25th century. Something happens where he fights the Flash in the past. So at some point, and it's like the butterfly effect, when he got trapped in the past the first time, it altered the future.
Well, yeah, and I get that, but I mean, like, when we first actually saw the Reverse Flash, like, honestly do stuff,
mm-hmm.
He kept talking about, like, how we've done this so many times, Alan. All this kind of like stuff, little banter with him.
Well, from what I took from this episode, where he pretty much said that, you know, in 20 years you're going to make this particle accelerator
that's going to change the world.
That's going to change the world. We need it to go faster. We need it to happen sooner. In the original timeline, the Flash didn't turn into become the Flash until he was like 30, 35, and because the Reverse Flash got trapped in the past, he made it so everything happened sooner so he can get to the future sooner. That's the way I'm seeing it.
But still, he's still hundreds of years in the future compared to current events. Even with the original timeline of Flash becoming Flash 20 years later.
I don't know. Time travel is always a really difficult thing to tell in storytelling.
Yeah.
You know, it's so easy for you to get sidetracked and bounced around.
But this also makes me wonder if Thrawn got stuck in the past. Is the Flash he fought at Barry's house trapped also?
No.
Oh.
No, I don't think that's the case. Anyway, we gotta move on because we can discuss this time travel stuff back and forth, and you know what? There's no real answer because it's all just kind of being made up at the fly anyway.
Hashtag time travel.
Yeah. How does Doctor Who fit into this?
Yeah, right. Okay, let's get one news thing here before we take the break. I don't know, you guys want to talk about this, the April Fool's stuff that's been coming up? Or that happened here a couple days ago, like the Deadpool thing and some of the other stuff that's been happening.
Okay, we can talk about that.
Yeah. Well, go ahead. Go.
All right. So, since the internet became what it is now, every year on April Fool's, various companies and things release videos or fake products or something, you know, legitimately tricking people. Well, one thing that ended up not being a trick, but it was a very, very clever how they did it, is the Deadpool movie's coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And Deadpool being a very self-aware comic book character as he is, they made a mock interview between Ryan Reynolds and Mario Lopez. and talking about how the movie was going to be PG-13. Well, as Mario Lopez is talking to Ryan Reynolds, you see Deadpool walk behind him, grab a stage light, and basically kill him with it.
Just bash him with it, yeah.
Yeah, and he talked about how Deadpool's going to be rated R. You know, screw you, Mario Lopez.
Yeah. No, not Mario Lopez.
Well,
Slater.
Slater.
Yeah.
Slater's never going to hurt you anymore, Jesse.
Yeah, no, it's a great trailer. You should go and check it out. But yeah, that was a good trick. That was a good one. That was a good way to announce that. Because I was worried that they were going to make it PG-13.
Oh, yeah. Well, just like the X-Men movies and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Deadpool's not Deadpool if he's not rated R.
Pretty much.
And that was pretty much what Ryan Reynolds has been saying ever since people started talking about a Deadpool movie.
Yeah.
Is how he championed it to be rated R as hard as he could, which is great. There are a few, and it would be also to be really nice seeing a mature. Well, it's Deadpool, so it won't be exactly mature.
Wrong word.
Yeah. But an adult superhero movie.
Yeah,
yeah. Because last time we had previously known license was Watchmen. Watchmen was.
Oh yeah, and it's not even that well known. It was a Vertigo. You know, DC comic.
It wasn't Vertigo.
Was it actually DC?
It predates Vertigo.
Does it?
Yes.
Oh. Well,
Watchmen was 86. Vertigo didn't start till around 90.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But either way.
The more you know.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a serious take. And it's even more than that because it's a character that's been thrust into the spotlight of general knowledge. I mean, you've had Deadpool in the Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon. I mean, he's popped up. People know who he is now.
In theory, he was in Wolverine, X-Men Origins Wolverine.
In theory.
Yeah.
In the beginning of the movie, and then he turns into Baraka from Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, pretty much.
It seems like they're getting Deadpool and the spirit of Deadpool and what it's about down more than almost any other non-Marvel.
Yeah, I've had that thought.
Non-Disney Marvel movie. Yeah, ever.
I've had that thought, too. I mean, we could potentially see Deadpool as the closest, you know, page-to-screen adaptation of any character. That's a weird thought.
Yeah. I know. The fact that Fox is putting out a superhero movie that is actually going to be an accurate superhero movie.
Yeah, right. No kidding.
Mind blown.
Yeah.
And they released the costume, too. A picture of the costume.
Yeah, that's actually up on the website. Nerdoverload.com. Go check it out.
Yeah.
It looks great.
Yeah.
I think they're going to CG the eyes a little bit.
I hope they do.
To kind of give it the how his like he might have like facial movement underneath the mask.
Yeah.
Beyond then just the blank stare of screened white eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah. They got to do that because in movies, when they don't, it looks ridiculous and it looks like you're watching a Power Rangers scene. Like the original Spider-Man when he's like on the roof talking to Green Goblin and they have both don't have any sort of facial movements. Yeah. It looks ridiculous.
It does look kind of crazy. Yeah, I agree with that. Although I am not happy about the Power Rangers knock.
That's what it looks like. Not enough.
I'm joking.
Did you see Deadpool's Twitter account?
No.
He's only following Hello Kitty?
Yes.
Perfect.
Yeah, perfect.
Perfect.
All right. Well, did you guys see any other April Fool's stuff there before we take the break?
Google Maps had Google Pac-Man. You could play Pac-Man on the roads.
On the map streets?
Yeah, on the map streets, which is cool. Google always does something cool like that, although it wasn't as good as last year's Pokemon.
Yeah.
That one was great.
And the Dragon Quest one was really cool, too, the Google Maps 8-bit, where everything looked like Dragon Quest. There was a new Strong Bad cartoon where he pokes fun at internet April Fool's in its entirety. It wasn't like an April Fool's joke like they usually do. They just made fun of the April Fool's trope. Yeah, that's come out of April Fool's.
Yeah.
You should go watch that. It's pretty good.
Well, it's Homestar Runner. You got to watch it.
Yeah.
You know? They don't put out much anymore, so.
No, they really don't.
Yeah. I saw the Smithsonian had a display of Wonder Woman's Invisible Jet all day yesterday.
It was really accurate.
Incredibly accurate. Yeah.
I saw a bunch of, in the spirit of how they do everything, a bunch of ThinkGeek products. Mm. That they're all fake, which means at some point one or two of them might become real, because that's what they tend to do nowadays. They had a Groot beer. It was a root beer.
That's definitely going to happen.
And it came with a energy. It looked like a 5-hour energy bottle, but it was called a Rocket Power or something like that.
Yeah.
There was Mad Max Power Wheels, which I thought was pretty great. Yeah, God, there's some. What was some other stuff they had? This wrist device called like it was like an RPG augmented reality thing that had like a D20 underneath a bubble, and it had, tracked your health and stuff like that, and it turned the world into an RPG around you.
Oh, that's cool.
I was like, oh man,
I would legitimately use a fitness device that gamifies your.
It's kind of like there was a running app that if you wore your headphones or something, it made zombie sounds behind you.
Zombies Run. Yeah. I have that one. It's actually fun.
Isn't that like a $10 app, though?
Not when I got it.
Oh.
It was like $2 when I got it. Oh, okay. Yeah. But no, the other thing, another Google one, I saw they flipped their search on phones. There's actually a lot of the Google links, it like flip the screen so you typed everything backwards and like everything is just displayed reverse, you know, their everything, even their pages and everything. It was nice. Great. No, it was great. Gosh.
Oh, there was a Voltron cat tower thing that you put it together and it was like a big multicolored Voltron robot.
Nice.
For cats to crawl through.
Nice.
Tumblr had what was it?
The Tumblr executive suite.
I saw this.
What?
It changed your Tumblr into, like, a business. And what else did it do? I'm trying to remember.
Oh, it added a yellow notepad you could draw on, a calculator, some fake news, fake stock like ticker and fake news ticker.
Wasn't business related.
Yeah.
Wasn't there a copier faxer machine that was, like, that was like Clippy, kind of? Yeah.
But it would not go away. You start scrolling like, hey, how you doing? Getting a lot of business done?
Hey, listen, business stuff. Business.
And then you tell him to go away and he comes back like 2 seconds later.
Start scrolling.
Yeah, when you start scrolling.
Yeah.
Like, oh, how's that break?
Yeah. Also, I'm tired of people complaining about April Fool's Day on April Fool's Day.
I kind of get tired of that too. Yeah.
Expect it. It's going to happen. It's not like, going away.
How allergic to fun are you that if Google puts up a fun thing for a day, you get mad about it?
That's the thing. Google puts up fun stuff all the time.
Yeah. You know, I can kind of see where it's coming from because, as you know, because we run the website, we aggregate news and stuff. It's always a minefield to like pull news from sites for like a couple days after.
True.
Because, you know, 9 times out of 10, it's all made up stuff anyways. And a lot of it's really creative to the point where it's like believable.
I know.
And I can see how that can get a little frustrating because it has been a little frustrating.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know what? It's just lighten up. Have a little fun, you know?
Yeah. There was people already trying to find ways to get rid of the copy machine on Tumblr. And it's like, just wait because it's going to be gone tomorrow.
Yeah. Right. Right. Well, anyways, I think we're going to go ahead and take a break here, and when we come back, we'll talk about some more news.
All right.
Nerd Overload would like to thank IDE Computers for their support. With over 19 years of service, IDE is located on Delaware Avenue, Marion, 387-3376.
Nerd Overload is brought to you in part by Replays, Gameware, Movies, and more. Replays is the place for all your gaming needs, from retro up through current gen systems and accessories. They even have a free customer rewards program. Mount Vernon Avenue, Marion, across from the Marion Plaza. 751-4072 or online at facebook.com/replaysmarion.
And we're back. That was I Want a New Drug from Huey Lewis in the News. Wait, nope. That was the Ghostbusters theme by Ray Parker Jr. Because Bustin' makes me feel good.
We haven't talked about Ghostbusters for this show, so we figured we'll just play the song.
Yeah, there we go. There
just
we go.
We're all there. The time talking about Ghostbusters.
It's iconic.
Yep. And speaking of movies, a couple bits here came out concerning trailers and new movies and stuff.
Oh, yeah. May is going to be a great month.
It is. It really is.
Aside the fact that we've got the Age of Ultron film coming out, in the trailer reel for the film, Disney announced that we will get a new trailer for the Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens.
Yes. Awesome.
Yeah.
I am psyched. I am pumped.
If I ever needed another reason to go see the movie.
Yeah, right.
Honestly.
Like, hey, you know that great thing you're probably going to go see?
We're going to make it even better.
Here's another thing you're probably going to want to see.
Oh, yeah. Man. Putting the Star Wars in my Marvels. Oh, I can't handle it.
Predict yelling.
Yeah.
Cheers.
Weeping intensifies.
Hoots and hollers, yes.
God, I remember when I went and saw episode 3, people clapped at the end.
Oh, they did.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, 3 wasn't as bad as
no,
the other
but
one.
Still.
They were clapping because it was over.
Yeah.
No.
But no, it'll be awesome. Hopefully, maybe some more of the original cast.
Yeah.
Maybe popping up.
That's what I expect. That's what I'm kind
of
suspecting.
And probably some kind of, you know...
Because this isn't
semblance
a teaser.
Of the
this
plot.
Is, yeah,
it's an actual trailer.
This is the full trailer. This is the first full trailer. So,
is it bad that I'm kind of more excited about the Star Wars trailer than I am Avengers?
Oh, not at all. Not at
I
all.
I mean, I'm excited about Avengers, but Star Wars.
Yeah, yeah.
Star Wars is a huge part of, like, especially my childhood, because mm-hmm. I wore my VHS tapes out.
Oh,
watching
same
Star
here.
Wars.
Yep. But I was going to say along the same lines.
Yes, in May.
Yeah, not to be outdone, Warner Brothers has decided to put a trailer for Batman v Superman : Dawn of Justice in front of Mad Max.
Fury Road?
Fury Road, yeah. Yeah.
We're going to put the superhero teaser in front of this movie that, this movie series.
Hyper-violent.
Hyper-violent, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited to see, you know, Mad Max. That's going to be great.
Yeah, that looks great.
It's going to be weird. It's going to be weird seeing a Mad Max that doesn't have Mel Gibson in it.
I'm sure he's going to pop up somewhere.
Oh, it's like a cameo.
I'm sure it's going to pop up somewhere. Yeah, but I don't know. I mean I'm happy to see the trailer for Batman v Superman.
Something other than that leaked Comic-Con teaser that's really bad quality.
Yeah, right.
It'll give us a whole new cornucopia of things to complain about.
Exactly. I'm looking forward to that. But it's just kind of telling the corporate, you know, the way the two different companies, Disney and Warner Brothers, are thinking about their superhero, that, you know, you have, or is thinking about their movies in general, that, you know, you have Marvel, they're putting their, or Disney, where they're putting their, you know,
Best foot forward,
you know, they're putting the thing that everyone's going to love and is for everybody, Star Wars, along with another thing that everyone's going to love and is for everybody.
They're both family friendly.
Ish.
They're movies that everyone can see.
Yeah. And on the flip side, they're putting the Batman versus Superman movie trailer in front of Mad Max,
which is
a rated R movie that a very narrow margin of people are going to go see. I'm sure it's going to be, like I said, it's going to be great, and I'll go see it.
I mean, Mad Max is a cult classic.
Yeah, but I mean,
it's more niche than
it is
in Avengers.
Yeah, it's not like they put, like, you know, the Dawn of Justice trailer in front of something more like, I don't know,
Ghostbusters,
or a new Matrix movie or something.
Right.
Yeah, it'll be definitely interesting to see what happens there.
Ghostbusters is Sony. That was a bad example.
Yeah, well, they understood. They got it.
They got the idea. You get the idea. But also the fact that, speaking of other movies and franchises that are going to be terrible.
Oh, my God.
Stephen Amell of Arrow fame.
Amell?
Amell. Yes, sorry. I always mess up his name.
Stephen Arrow.
Arrowman.
Stephen Emerald Esquire. Is going to play Casey Jones, the hockey mask wearing sports themed vigilante in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2.
And I heard that it's the tagline is half shell.
Oh, really?
Turtles 2 half shell.
Something
what? Like that. Yeah, because there was a scene that they shot with a bunch of basketball players. It was like Will Arnett sitting courtside with like his love interest. Movie. I don't know why they're making Will Arnett like the main character of this movie, but whatever.
It's better than Megan Fox.
Yeah, very true. But one of the basketball players was doing an interview and said, I'm probably going to get, he said like something about half shell and then said, I'm probably going to get in trouble for that. So that's either the working title or something.
Huh. Yeah. Maybe they'll just call it Heroes in a Half Shell.
Yeah, that's probably more likely. But anyway, yeah.
Why are basketball players in it? Is it going to be like Ninja Turtle Space Jam?
Yeah.
I would watch that too. That would be great.
Turtles versus the Monstars. Yeah,
it's like the cameo from the first Turtles 2 with Vanilla Ice.
Oh,
trying
yeah.
to match that.
Go, Ninja, go.
I wish I'd have played that for the break.
Oh,
that's all right. Anyway, getting back to the topic at hand, Stephen Amell as Casey Jones, what do you guys think?
Not really a stretch.
No, I mean, character-wise, it is not a stretch, because the CW's portrayal of the Green Arrow is, he's Casey Jones with many things, versus Casey Jones in money, versus Casey Jones with a bad haircut and a golf bag full of miscellaneous sports equipment.
I mean, it's good casting. Better casting than I'm used to hearing out of Michael Bay.
Yeah.
Produced films.
Yeah. Michael Bay steals things from your childhood movies.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I definitely think they're trying to go with who's popular and current right now.
They're trying anyway.
Yeah. Exactly. I don't know. That first movie was so bad.
Do you think there's be gratuitous shirtless working out montages?
Probably.
It's a Michael Bay movie with CNML. Yeah,
He'll be doing salmon ladders again.
Yeah.
I always make jokes about him training for Ninja Warrior when we're watching Era. Because that's what it looks like he's doing.
It just makes me think of...
I know. They make multiple references to it, like in the first and second seasons. Like Felicity is always walking in when he's doing it.
Yeah.
Like, she goes, I could just stand here forever.
Oh, jeez.
But she does.
Getting back to this, as long as he has the black mullet that Casey Jones has from, like, the 90s movies and the comics and stuff, I'm happy.
I don't know. I love the original Casey Jones so much, especially his fight with Raphael in the first movie.
Oh, yeah. Elias Koteas did a really good job.
Oh, it was so good.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
And also, that movie is so quotable because, like, half his quotes are the best ones are his.
Speaking of Stephen Amell and CW shows and stuff like that, did you guys hear about this? They're doing a third spinoff of Arrow and Flash.
The Arrowverse.
Yeah,
the Arrowverse.
They're doing another one.
It keeps getting bigger and bigger.
Yeah, eventually it's going to be like CWDC channel or whatever.
Yeah.
Hey, that's fine.
I mean, they're doing good.
I'm happy with it. Yeah, I mean, as long as they keep putting stuff out.
The Winchester brothers joined Justice League Dark.
Yeah. Right. Anyways... Yeah, this show is going to be a bunch of backup characters from a lot of their previous shows. Like, it's going to be led by Brandon Routh, who's been the Atom, previously Superman and, you know, a whole bunch of other stuff. And the cast actually includes Captain Cold and Heatwave from Flash.
Oh, okay.
They're actually going to be part of it.
So they get their prison break in.
Yeah. Prison right. And they recently cast a couple more people in it. Let's see. The actress's name is Sierra Renee. She's been pretty much a Broadway actress. She hasn't really done any kind of TV, but they've cast her as Hawk Girl.
Which is a very interesting choice. Like, they're definitely playing on the Justice League cartoon from the 90s.
Yeah. And actually, the New 52 reboot Hawk Girl is Latina.
Oh.
She's
not Themigarian?
No.
So the wings aren't real?
Wings aren't real. Actually, they are real. They are magic.
Oh, so so she's not quite Hawkman, but she's not the original Hawkman.
It's something different, yeah.
Okay.
But I mean, the same thing is still there. Chick with wings, giant mace, hits things really hard.
Yeah, as long as she keeps screaming like Xena when she goes to hit things, I think I'm okay with that.
Yeah. And the other casting, and this is a weird one. This is a really kind of a deep cut for this kind of show. It's a character called Rip Hunter. He was created back in the 60s. He's a time traveler. They haven't really done anything with him in years. The last thing they did was a Booster Gold comic from a few years ago.
And
where
Booster Gold is also a time traveler.
A time traveler. Anyway, they cast...
Arthur?
Arthur Danville?
I think that's his name, yeah. Everyone knows him as Rory from
Doctor Who.
Doctor Who.
Yeah.
They cast him as Rip Hunter, this time traveler guy, and they've described the character as a Han Solo-esque type character who goes through time and solves crimes.
Time cop.
He's a time cop, yeah. I don't know, I think it's good casting.
Oh, yeah. I love seeing actors that I love from other things doing other things.
Yeah.
I'm just, you know, he's getting work, and he's growing his...
portfolio?
His body of work.
Yeah.
You know, not being just pigeonholed into one thing.
Yeah. Well, time travel.
Yeah. Well, yeah. There is that.
But at least this time he gets to play the time traveler.
Yeah.
Not the
Well, he time traveled with
the hanger on. Well, you know what I mean.
I know. I don't know.
He gets to play the doctor instead of the companion this time.
This is true. I mean, he does seem to have really good acting range. You know, he's great in Doctor Who, the various different types of roles he played in Doctor Who. He was a creepy priest in Broadchurch. With David Tennant. I don't know. I'll watch it.
Yeah. Well, anyway, here's the... I will, too. I mean, yeah, you know what? They're two... CW's two for two.
Oh, I know, right?
I'll give it a shot, at least. But here's the rest of the cast. Brandon Routh, of course. Wentworth Miller and Dominic Purcell. They were the guys from The Flash, and they were from Prison Break and that stuff. Katie Lultz was Black Canary. One of the Black Canaries.
Oh,
the one that died, I think.
The first one?
Yeah, the first one.
Oh.
Yeah, she's been cast as Black Cat Canary in this. I don't know. I don't know how they're going to pull that off, but I'm sure they will.
I'm sure it ties into something maybe if that's going to happen at the end of Arrow or something.
She'll be not really dead
spoiler.
A second time.
Yeah, right.
Lazarus Pit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They also have Victor Garber, who is the Professor Stein half of Firestorm.
Okay.
Because Firestorm's two guys merged into one.
Yeah.
They haven't cast Robbie Amell yet.
Okay.
But I'm sure he's coming.
Oh, yeah, he'll have
I'm sure
to
he'll show up. And there's actually one more that they haven't cast anyone yet, and it's the description reads, mystery hero, an African-American male in his 20s, will fill the role of a regular street-smart guy who unexpectedly gains powers and then, as part of the team, regularly quips about the insanity of the situation. That sounds an awful lot like Green Lantern.
It really does.
That sounds a lot like Jon Stewart, Green Lantern. A lot.
I really want a Diggle to be Jon Stewart.
Well, yeah. That would still be cool.
And if it's got Hawk Girl in it, it's gotta have.
Yeah.
Yeah, again, like I said, playing on the Justice League cartoon.
Yeah. And you know, they when Warner Brothers announced a whole bunch of their lineup of movies a while back, they announced a Flash and Green Lantern team-up movie and then turned around and said some of these might be just for TV. So this could lead into a Flash and Green Lantern made-for-TV movie with this character and, you know...
I'd watch it.
What's his name? Ronnie Joe from The Flash. I don't know the
Grant Gustin.
Grant Gustin.
Ronnie Joe.
Ronnie Joe.
Yeah. But no, they're describing this...
Donnie Flashman.
But anyways, they're describing this show as kind of like Magnificent Seven or like Ocean's 11 kind of thing. So it's like these different, you know, people from different walks of life all kind of coming together as kind of a...
For a common purpose.
For a caper, yeah.
Yeah, it's an ensemble cast superhero show.
Yeah, and... That's going to be great.
Yeah.
It's the next logical progression from the Flash and Arrow shows, I think.
Yeah, I mean, some of the best Flash and Arrow episodes were the crossovers with Flash and Arrow in the episodes.
Yeah.
I mean, I like it when they kind of throw them together like the characters and stuff from the different shows.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're making continuity and developing that universe.
Creating a world.
Yeah, that every franchise owner wants to do now.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, between that and you know, they're still doing that animated series for their web
for Vixen.
For the CW web, whatever they called it.
Yeah, I don't remember what it was called.
Yeah, but they're actually doing a really good job, and I don't understand why they don't put this into the movies.
Yeah,
I
know these people do the movies.
It's kind of ridiculous that the Warner Brothers DC TV verse is getting more right than the big budget movie universe.
Yeah, I don't understand it.
It's because Zack Snyder sucks. To be super blunt about it,
yeah,
Zack Snyder is the worst.
I've been a Zack Snyder defender for a while, but I can't. Yeah, Watchmen was good, but you know that's really
bad. Yeah. That's pretty much where I draw the line.
Yeah. Oh, other TV that was adapted from comics. You guys know more about this than I do, but Attack on Titan.
Yeah, the uber popular Japanese anime of giant monsters eating people is getting a live action TV series in Japan. So on top of the video game announcement and the movie announcement with the trailer that's come out, a TV series is coming out.
Yep. What would be like your two sentence pitch for what Attack on Titan is? Because I'm sure there are some listeners out there that don't know what it is.
Japanese Walking Dead.
So, it kind of is.
Kinda,
yeah.
Yeah, I get, yeah, you know what? You're right.
Japanese Walking Dead,
I mean,
kaiju.
Yeah, the Titans, they are kind of zombies. I mean, they eat people for no obvious reason
exactly.
Other than to make really horribly creepy things in my dreams in a steampunk-esque kind of world with parkour and razor blades.
Yeah, razor blade Spider-Mans.
Yeah. No, really, they really are.
I know. I don't know much about this show or this comic or whatever,
I mean,
but
if
I know enough.
If you're into anime and you're kind of maybe into
even
it.
Even not. I mean, it's not super.
Well, yeah. It's not super.
I would recommend this to anybody, even if you don't like anime.
Yeah, it doesn't really have a lot of anime tropes in it.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's got that whole, you know.
It's written very well and has a lot of deals with actual emotions and stuff.
The characters feel like real people versus characters.
Okay. Do you think this can translate well into live action? Since that's what the news is?
I guess.
I think it's going to take some pretty decent special effects, which I don't know if they'll have the budget for.
I don't know, man. It's like it's huge in Japan right now. They're using it for marketing, and granted, it's Japan, and they do that for everything.
Yeah, there was like a Hyundai commercial.
Yeah,
like, with
the Colossal Titan.
Like, ate a car or something.
Yeah, and a dude dancing around in a Morse suit.
There's Schick Razors, the Attack on Titan Razors, I think.
Really?
Yeah, I think I saw some at Indiana Comic Con.
But the global popularity of Attack on Titan. I mean, I know so many people that are all about it.
Oh, you can't go to a convention without
seeing the Jaegers. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what they're called. Which is German for hunter.
Oh, okay.
But it's basically you can only defeat a Titan by hitting its weak spot in the back of its neck.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's one of the animes that get really big, but it's actually good. It's not like a Naruto or like Inuyasha where it's hugely popular with anime fans and that's it. Like, you kind of have to be an anime fan to enjoy it. This, I think, has a mass appeal that I think anybody could get into, and I would recommend it to anybody.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it like I said, Japanese Walking Dead probably is the best analogy for it. I mean, the stories, the way characters interact, because it's how they live in their world versus what's happening.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, and Japan's been getting better about translating their manga and animes into live action. I mean,
used to be real bad.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It used to be terrible. But they've definitely been getting, I think they've kind of reached a point where they just kind of throw things out the window and try to make it as close to their source material as they can.
And that, you know, that's the best way to make people happy.
Oh,
know?
Yeah. I mean, that's the only way you're going to make everybody happy.
Yeah.
But yeah, but we'll definitely see in probably like Crunchyroll or something streaming online.
Oh, yeah.
Later.
Probably. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And I think the last thing we got to have here on the docket is Nintendo Direct.
Yeah. We can go straight from Attack on Titan show to game. That's one of the things in the Direct is Nintendo and Atlus are publishing the Attack on Titan 3DS game in America. Yeah. I think it's a download-only thing, but
it still kind of surprised me. Yeah. I wasn't expecting that one.
Yeah, Nintendo usually doesn't back licensed things like that, but they put their name on it.
Especially kind of violent.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's violent and disturbing.
Hmm. Interesting.
But it looks like a cool game, and it's got cooperative multiplayer, so you can take down Titans together.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool.
But that wasn't nearly the biggest thing that came out of the Nintendo Direct. That was just the best segue.
Yeah.
there was all kinds of craziness. The Nintendo Direct is a thing they do every 3 or 4 months where Nintendo
announces.
Like
quarterly, right? Something like that. Yeah.
Nintendo
like press releases.
Yeah, all their new stuff they're going to have for the year. Or for the
season.
That quarter, I guess. It's probably quarterly. It's probably a big business thing like that.
Yeah.
But they opened with a bunch of Smash Brothers stuff, which, you know, everybody loves Smash Brothers.
Everybody loves Smash Brothers.
They opened with some footage of Mewtwo as a DLC character.
Which we knew was coming.
Yeah.
We did know that one was coming.
But we hadn't seen it before then.
Yeah. I think we'll get a Mega Evolution Mewtwo.
Yeah. That's
Oh, really?
Smash is Mewtwo Y.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I was just going to make a joke, but okay.
No, that's a legit thing.
And then they surprised everybody by revealing Lucas from the Mother Earthbound series.
Yeah.
Who was in Melee is coming back for Smash Brothers 4 Wii and 3DS.
That's good.
I really wish they would have called it something else.
Well, you can just call it Smash 4.
Yeah.
Because I get the pun. You know, it's Smash Brothers 4 Wii U and 3DS. Smash 4. Yeah,
it's also
I kind of get it.
Yeah, I get it.
It took me a while to catch it, but I. But no, Lucas, that's going to, I mean, it's another clone character, basically. It's the same as Ness. But, you know, people like the character.
Yeah.
Some people like the character way more than they should, probably.
Yeah.
Like I said, I have never played the Mother Earthbound games, like, ever.
Me neither.
You both should. I say this every time. You really should.
Yeah, they're good. They're good stuff.
I have trouble getting really excited about these because they're both characters that we've seen before in the other game.
Yeah, give us new stuff. Right?
Yeah.
That is kind of one thing they did.
So speaking of that.
Yeah, there's costumes for your new costumes for your Mii. And there's what new stuff? You look like you're leading me towards something.
They're opening up a ballot.
Oh, yeah, to vote for what character you want. I forgot about that part.
Yeah,
they're opening Smash Ballot where everybody's voting for the character they want in the game.
Yeah.
They haven't guaranteed that whatever wins will be in the game, but...
It'll probably be, like, the highest one that Nintendo can get the license to.
Yeah.
Know?
Yeah, definitely like a testing waters kind of
thing. Yeah.
And everybody gets one ballot.
Everybody gets one.
Everybody gets one.
Yeah.
Flip, flip.
but no, I mean, it really kind of opens it up. I've seen people, you know, I've seen Twitter go nuts over, like...
Goku.
Yeah, Goku.
Yeah. Well, those are being jerks, though. That's dumb. I don't know. But I've seen people with... It's dumb that it would be in Smash Brothers because that's not a video, it's not natively a video game character.
Okay,
you're making a face at me.
I know.
This is radio. They can't hear your face.
Well, okay, my grumpy cat face is Goku wanting to punch you in his face.
Yeah, well, okay.
I think they should put Goku in it just so people stop asking.
Yeah, but I've seen a lot of people say Simon Belmont from Castlevania.
That'd be awesome.
I've seen people go Bomberman.
That'd be cool.
That would be good.
Yeah, he's a good fit.
Yeah. I've seen a ton of people go Shovel Knight. And that's, if anything, that's probably what it's going to end up being, I bet.
Yeah, I would be stoked for
Shovel Knight. Would be the Solid Snake of the series.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, and you also mentioned something about the DLC Mii costumes, too.
Yeah, different costumes, just new clothes you can get if you buy the DLC. And some of it is based off of other Nintendo characters, like Link costume.
The Proto Man costume looks really good.
Yeah. And then there's stuff like a monkey suit and a cat suit, too.
Yeah. The monkey suit has a wooden stick. It's a sword. Yeah, it's for the sword me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so it's like the Son Goku journey.
He just looked like a monkey, though.
Well, yeah, he's the Monkey King.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I know. But anyway, and they're pretty reasonably priced, too, right?
Yeah, this is only a couple bucks for the costumes, I think. And then... Mewtwo is like $5 for both games if you didn't register it on Club Nintendo.
Yeah,
which I didn't,
Aw, oh, bummer.
Well, it doesn't matter. Club Nintendo is not around.
No, it's still around. You just can't register anything.
Oh, anymore.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on from that. Was there like something about Splatoon?
There was a couple new modes, I think. Oh, there was Amiibos for Splatoon too.
Oh, okay, I didn't see.
I really want to play that. It looks fun.
It looks like a lot of fun.
It also looks insane.
Yeah.
In case you don't know, Splatoon is a team-based shooter, loosely a shooter, with squid people, where you squirt colored ink around and you can travel through the ink and attack your enemies of a different color.
Yeah, the goal is to get like the most of the map painted your color, right?
Yeah,
yeah,
that's cool. That's kind of fun.
It looks a lot of fun. Yeah. It really does.
And the character design is fantastic.
Oh yeah,
I love those squid kids.
It's cute.
But, yeah, the Amiibos, there's a boy squid, girl squid, and then just the regular squid form.
Yeah.
And it comes in a 3-pack, so you have to hunt them all down.
That's awesome.
Yay!
That's really awesome. Yeah. I'm happy about that. Speaking of Amiibos, there's also a Yoshi, a couple of different versions of Yoshi made entirely out of yarn.
Yeah, it's like an Amiibo plushie, or like an Amiibo Beanie Baby.
Yeah, and that's with the Yoshi Woolly World, I think is the game name. Where it's
so adorable.
Oh, so is it kind of like Kirby's Epic Yarn? Or
yeah,
like
except it's plushies instead of
like,
just
like knitted stuff.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's knitting Kirby, but with Yoshi.
Yeah.
It looks like
I bet you are. I bet you are. You are the yarny crafty one of the group.
And they announced there's a mode in it called Mellow Mode, where if the game gets too hard, you just flip that on and you're basically invincible.
Oh, that's awesome.
Just float around.
It's kind of like the white leaf from the most recent Mario.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It's one of those like super guide helpy things. But
it's just good for kids.
Yeah.
Well, sure. Yeah.
Plus, you know, it keeps you from being, you know, raging out and breaking your really expensive Wii controller.
Or you just find it patronizing when you die a lot and it pops up. And I'm like, no, I don't want that. Thank you very much. I can do this.
It's kind of like those...
Big boy.
I want to play a big boy game. You know, kind of like those certain games where if you get stuck too much on one spot, do you want to turn the difficulty down? I've had games ask me that before.
I'm like, no, I can do it.
Yeah.
I'll do it myself.
Was there anything else that came out from
the
Mario
Direct?
Kart?
Oh, yeah. Mario Kart is cranking up the CCs to, for the first time, 200cc.
Oh, that's awesome.
It is insanely fast looking.
That's awesome.
So, does that mean it's going to be built onto the existing
Mario
Kart?
Yeah, it's a free update to Mario Kart 8 that makes it 200cc, and it looks nuts.
Yep. And there's going to be more amiibo support too, right?
Yeah. Yep. The amiibos from Smash Brothers will unlock more costumes than they already
I was kind of hoping maybe for more characters. We're getting Animal Crossing.
Yeah, they announced that a long time ago. But yeah. They moved it forward, actually. It comes out the end of this month instead of next month.
Yeah.
Okay, so we get Link and Animal Crossing.
Yeah, which I wouldn't be surprised after this if they do it again. More
characters.
I'm really surprised they haven't put Captain Falcon in it yet.
Yeah.
I think it's coming.
Oh, yeah. He original racing character in a racing game?
Yeah.
Who would have thought?
They put his car in it. I mean...
They should just turn this into Super Smash Racing, basically.
I'm surprised it hasn't happened sooner, honestly.
I've said for a long time they should expand the Smash line out to different things like sports games or racing games.
Oh, man. Smash Baseball would be amazing.
Smash Baseball would be awesome. Smash Party.
Think of that. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like Mario Party style with like a
Smash characters.
Yeah.
That'd be a lot of fun.
I could see them continuing to support like Mario Kart for as long as the Wii U goes.
Yeah.
Because that's not like they're going to make another one. They never make more than one per
system. This is true.
And if this DX thing is an add-on instead of a...
Or the NX.
The NX, whatever it's called.
DX.
The DX, yeah. No, the NX, I've heard some reports that it might actually be an add-on to the existing Wii U's.
Huh.
Because it's coming out so close to the Wii U's launch.
Yeah. I mean, the Wii's only been around for like two or three years,
if that,
two and a half.
Yeah.
But say systems typically have a shelf life of about what?
Used to be 4 years, but this last one was like a decade.
Yeah, it was like 10 years.
Yeah.
Almost.
Was there any other big news?
The new Fire Emblem looked really cool. Because usually in Fire Emblem, you create a character that's part of the story, but not the main character. Mm-hmm. And this one... You are the main character.
Very cool.
And you have a choice between two, like, warring factions you can be, which changes up the formula for Fire Emblem.
I was saying, that sounds kind of like Sakoden.
But more Fire Emblem.
Yeah.
Sakoden's more of like a traditional JRPG, whereas
true.
Fire Emblem's strategy. Oh, I forgot my favorite part of the whole thing.
Oh, my God, yes.
There's a patch coming for Codename Steam that makes the alien turns faster.
Hey! All right.
Listen to your cries.
Yeah, which I joked about. I'm like, the only thing I want is a patch that makes Codename Steam faster. And then they did it.
They added more water.
You know what that means? Nintendo was listening to our show. Nintendo was listening to our show.
Confirmed.
Confirmed. So thank you, Nintendo, and thank you all for listening. I think this is the end of the show. Again, you've been listening to Nerd Overload. You can check us out online at nerdoverload.com or facebook.com/nerdoverloadwebsite.
You can email us at staff@nerdoverload.com.
Twitter, nerd. Is it nerd_overload?
It is nerd_overload.
Yes.
Confirm. So get in touch with us. Ask us questions.
Yes, please. Ask
whatever.
Us questions. We want feedback.
Yes, definitely.
We'd love to hear from you.
Yep.
Yeah.
We will discuss it.
Thank you again for listening, and we will be back next week at 9. This show has been brought to you by Replays, Gameware, Movies, and More, and IDE Computers.